Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. This is a live call-in program, so dial 888-ASK-HANK to ask your question now. Again, that's 888-275-4265. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. As always, delighted to be in studio as we answer your questions. The number to dial is just mentioned, 888-ASK-HANK. And do remember our contact information via the mail. It's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. On the web, equip.org, and resource consultants available when you dial 888-7000 and the letters CRI. We will be going to your calls again, 888-ASK-HANK. But I want to start the broadcast today by talking about the State and Revolution written in 1917. Vladimir Lenin. And the reason I want to talk about this is one of the 10 books that Benjamin Weicker talks about, the 10 books that screwed up the world. This book available for those who support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Again, check it out on the web, equip.org. G.K. Chesterton, well, you know, he was very pithy. And in typical pithy prose, once noted that communism eliminates the pickpocket by eliminating the pocket. And Benjamin Weicker, in this book, expands on Chesterton's quip by suggesting that that was far too generous. Because in reality, the man who owns the pants must be shot for having pockets. The pickpocket must be made the executioner. And all those watching must be forced to make pocketless pants, or else they too will be shot. And that's an example of communism's brutal insanity. When the brutal Bolsheviks, who were led by Lenin, when they seized power in 1917, atheism was, well, it was enshrined as the state religion, and Lenin's The State and Revolution was embraced as the biblical text for pure Marxism. So it's an important book. We ought to know about it, especially today. Today, Lenin's 1917 communist experiment, an experiment that attempted to establish a godless kingdom on earth, is memorialized in song by another Lenin, who in 1971, so think about that, a Lenin in 1917, a Lenin in 1971. Remember he wrote, John Lennon, he wrote Imagine? You probably can sort of sing the lyrics. Imagine there's no heaven, it's easy if you try, no hell below us. I was going to sing this, but I was advised not to. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine no religion. You know how it goes. No possessions and so forth. Well, you know, the truth is communism only works in heaven where you don't need it, and hell where they already have it. I think Reagan said something like that at one time. This grand Leninist experiment, if you look at history, if you look at communist little black book, not the red book by Mao, but the little black book, which gives you the statistics, it led to the deaths of more than 100 million people. The largest mass-scale massacre of a domestic population in human history. At one time, more than half the human race was subject to this grand Leninist Marxist scream, a scheme that ironically leads to the power and privilege of the few controlling the many, which is exactly the opposite of what it is advertised. You know, what's advertised is, you know, the many, the proletariat, are now going to displace the bourgeoisie, and we're going to have heaven on earth. But if you go to China, You know, China has a lot of people. I forget what the exact statistics are now in terms of numbers. But let's say, for argument's sake, 1.5 billion people. Well, a very small amount of those people are communist. The Communist Party controls a mass of people, and it's very small relative to that mass of people. And they continue a very, very fine lifestyle, which the masses don't have. So in reality, it works out a little different than in theory. We're concerned with concentrated power and wealth in the hands of a few, and in the irony of the ages, we're all too willing to hand over our data and control to institutions and governments that herald the utopia of Lenin in words palatable to the masses. Unfortunately, those words are palatable to the masses simply because the masses don't know what is truly going on. Well, let's take some phone calls in studio with Christina, my daughter, David, first up in Sarasota, Florida. Hi, David.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
I'm doing great.
That's good, because you have Jesus inside of you. That's always great.
It is great. And I do have the engrafted life of Christ within me. Absolutely.
And not to sound like an unbeliever, but I had some questions that have stuck in my mind. Even though I am a man of faith, these questions have always stuck in my mind, and I've always had a hard time erasing them from my memory.
Yeah.
And the questions I want you to answer are, what about mudskippers and lungfish? I get a lot of atheists saying that they're proof of what atheists and evolutionists say, that we came from the sea and all that. They see the mudskippers and lungfish prove all that.
Yeah. Okay, so the music's driving me crazy, but let me give you an answer real quickly right here. And let me say that Darwin's Tree of Life, which appears in The Origin of Species, has persuaded so many people that Darwin was right when he said the lineal descendants of some few beings which lived long before the first bed of the Cambrian system was deposited, that there's a lineage here that you can trace. And at the root of the tree is a handful of organic building blocks, and at the tips of the budding branches are all modern species. And the reason this is important is because we've all seen it. Sometimes we don't see the explanation, but we see Darwin's Tree of Life, and it gives us an image that evolution is indeed true. But in reality, the Tree of Life is an icon, and not just an icon. It's a symbol of evolution that simply does not cohere with what we find in the real world. So beware of an icon that becomes the argument. You know, beware of something that, well, intimates to you that probably all the organic beings which have ever lived on this earth have descended from some one primordial form. Because the tree is quite literally incorrect. In the geological period that's designated Cambrian, we now know that the highest orders in the biological hierarchy appear suddenly and fully formed. Now, this isn't just my opinion. You can ask, well, probably you get some double talk here, but you can ask Oxford zoologist Richard Dawkins, probably the most famous evolutionist on the planet, who said it's as though the fossils were just planted there without any evolutionary history. Well, it's more than an appearance. Darwin's Tree of Life is not only uprooted by the Cambrian explosion or Cambrian radiation, but the fossil record in general shows no evidence of the origin of species by means of common descent and natural selection. And I've given many different examples of this on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You know, there's so many people that not only talk about the mudskippers and the mudfish, but they talk about hippo-like animals evolving into whales. And that in spite of the fact that there's no fossil transition that we can look to. In other words, this is based on a whole lot of faith. Belief in evolutionary development of these physiological wonders. You think of blowholes and sonar and diving mechanisms. It really takes a tremendous amount of Darwinian devotion. And so the people that are talking to you have faith, but it's not faith rooted in fact. The notion that unguided, that purposeless processes can transform, well, something like I was just talking about, the ears of a land-dwelling, freshwater, hippo-like animal into, well, an echolocation system that sea-dwelling animals, saltwater whales, that can happen in a mere matter of 10 million years? I mean, that ought to warn you that you don't have evidence here. This is simply blind faith. So, yeah, my point is that all of these illustrations, I mean, if you don't have one, you've got another, but all of them have to go back to, can purposeless processes create from the primordial slime what we have today in the species we find around the world? Now, remember that I do believe in microevolution, evolution within species or kinds. Some of those words are loaded, so I prefer the word kind. That there's certainly a lot of evidence for that. But as the Bible says, and as science demonstrates, there's no evidence for one kind evolving into another kind. Simply no evidence for that at all. Anita next in Washington, K-A-R-I. Hi, Anita.
Hello, Hank. Yesterday, I was listening, and a young lady called in and regarding tithing, and she shared with you that she had some financial challenges and was struggling with that and wondered what to do. And your response was, pay your debt first. And I am a widow with like challenges, but I pay my tithes first each month. And then the debts that continue monthly. Your response to the young lady was to pay her debt first. That doesn't seem to coincide with what I see the Word says.
Well, Anita, I think what's important is that you follow the Word and not my word. But I think in context, what I was explaining is that the real issue of tithing is a matter of the heart, which is to say that we follow a spiritual discipline that evolves into sheer delight. And so I was simply saying to that caller, don't give out of duress. Don't give out of legalism, because God is looking at the heart. So I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't tithe. I actually was suggesting something greater than that, Anita. I was suggesting that we hold everything that we have with an open hand so God can take out and put in as he sees fit, because we are just stewards. We're not owners. So what starts as a discipline, the discipline of tithing, should ultimately evolve into the delight of free will giving.
Yes.
And your example, just as you've given it, your testimony is a wonderful, wonderful testimony to all of us. And I'm thankful that you communicated on the broadcast.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Because then when I go and I mail my tithes to the different missions that the Lord leads me to and to my church, I pray that there will be millions of souls in heaven because of that tithe, wherever it's going.
Oh, bless you. Yeah, and you know, Anita, thank you so much for that. No telling what could be accomplished in our generation if we could catch the joy of contagious giving that you've just expressed.
Okay.
Our generation could as yet leave an indelible mark on the world. Not only could we feed the hungry, as you suggest, but through feeding the hungry, we can feed the spiritual needs of people so that they could come into a wonderful relationship with the one God revealed in Scripture. So I'm so thankful you called today, Anita. Some people can get the wrong impression, so your clarification is very, very important. Again, thank you so much. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do you remember the number to dial? 888-ASK-HANK. Please don't touch that dial in the meantime.
From Machiavelli's The Prince to Karl Marx's The Communist Manifesto to Alfred Kinsey's Sexual Behavior in the Human Male, these influential books have led to war, genocide, totalitarian oppression, family breakdown, and disastrous social experiments. And yet, these authors' bad ideas are still popular and pervasive. In fact, they might influence your own thinking without your realizing it. Read 10 Books That Screwed Up the World by Benjamin Weicker. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Hank Hanegraaff explains that while politically correct culture is quick to point out discrimination and abuse of women in other respects, there has been a deafening silence when it comes to the systematic oppression of women under Islamic Sharia law. Other topics include God made us so that He could be our Father in a way that reflects His fatherly relationship to His only Son, the rational inescapability of God. Was there a Jewish temple in ancient Jerusalem? And much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. For many Christians, the reality of God is so obvious and undeniable that we're amazed anyone could seriously doubt it. And yet, we all know people who do. How can we help such people recognize what seems so apparent to us? James N. Anderson highlights six aspects of everyone's life that can be explained only if God exists. Be sure to read The Inescapability of God in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here again is Hank Hanegraaff.
It's Christina, and thanks, Randy. We're going to read a couple testimonies. We got one from Lucian, who says, I just wanted to let you know how I'm blessed listening to your Bible Answer Man program and how you carefully explain Scripture clearly. God has really blessed your ministry. Keep up the good work. We have one from Hugh who says, I benefited from your wise counsel and the work of CRI for over 25 years of my life. It is a trusted resource in a world fraught with disinformation and chaos. Thank you for your ongoing work in ministry. I pray that the Lord will heal, restore, and strengthen you for the many years of ministry left ahead. Richest blessings to you, your loved ones, and your ministry colleagues at CRI. We also have a couple notes about our support team. Richard has donated $25 this month, and Bill and Deborah has donated $200. New monthly supporters as of November 7th is 15.
So. Yeah, and we need many people to join our monthly support team. You can do that by going to the web at equip.org. You can also write us at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember, as always, our resource consultants, you can talk directly to them at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. I think it'd be good to take a few Facebook questions and, recognize that people are not only contacting us via questions on the air, but also through social media platforms. So we've got some questions that we want to answer in that regard, but also, again, we'll answer questions as you dial 888-7000. Ask Hank.
Yeah, keep those questions coming in. We got Raquel who asks, there is someone who has a problem with a person accepting Jesus into their heart and hold the baptism as the only true way to be saved. How does a person explain, since accepting Jesus is not literally written, but I believe is conveyed in Scripture?
Yeah, and I really like that. That's fantastic. I mean, just as you read that question, I'm thinking, yeah, she's absolutely right. It's not literally placed that way in the biblical text, but the essence of it is given in the biblical text in John 1:12. I mean, this is one of the most famous sections of all of Scripture. You know, this is where John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And later on in verse 14, he says, and the Word became flesh. But in between that first verse, or the first few verses, and verse 14, you have John 1:12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And he emphasizes the fact that this is not of human descent, but children born of God. So the fact of the matter is, the Bible says, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, in terms of baptism, something also that was part of the question here, is baptism, repentance, and faith are a trilogy, and they're inseparable. Which is to say, when you hear the message and you believe the message, in Acts we see, Acts chapter 2, we see that there's a response to the message, and that response is that you are baptized. It's the first act of obedience. Why? Because Christianity is not a Lone Ranger kind of a deal. You are born into a family. And in Romans chapter 6, we see that we're buried to our old life, raised to newness of life through his resurrection power. And we take up our cross, we daily follow him in community, because it is within community that we receive the graces by which we can live, not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. And in baptism, you enter into that inner life of the triadic one. And through baptism, we are saved, 1 Peter chapter 3. We are regenerated, Titus chapter 3. I love the threes. And then we're invited to be united, as it were, as I said in Romans chapter 6, 3 plus 3. Not into numerology here, but trying to get you to remember these things. We're united with Christ in his death, his resurrection. We're adopted, incorporated into the body of Christ. So, great question. And I think it's something that ought to stimulate us to do the very thing that Raquel is asking us to do through the question, that is, test all things in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good.
And I think an added dimension to this question is the question of whether or not, of how you do baptism. And I wanted to follow up with that on you, because some people would say that baptism is essentially a public declaration of your faith, whether you go under the water or it's sprinkled, or maybe you're in a different culture and they decide to do it a different way. It doesn't really matter, as long as it's you're publicly confessing and you're part of a body that believes in Christ.
So your question is?
Does it matter how the public declaration is done?
Oh, well, no. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, there's some times in which you're doing it in one way or another in terms of the baptism mode. But the real issue is that you are baptized into community, which is to say that whether you're baptized in a lake or a pond or a bathtub. I was just in China last year, and I saw a bunch of baptisms done in a great big bathtub, which was in sort of the lower level of the church building. And so, yeah, I mean, we can be baptized in a lot of different ways, but ultimately we need to realize that we're being baptized into a body of believers, and that body of believers are living stones, the head of which is Jesus Christ, the cornerstone.
Amen. And we have another question. From Tammy. She asks, Hank, when we die and go to heaven, why does Jesus come back again to earth if we are already in heaven?
Yeah, and I think this is something that's really interesting, because so many people are confused about the fact that there is life. We're experiencing that right now in the studio. You're alive. I'm alive. Stephen's alive, I think. Yeah, he's alive. I can see him smiling. So he's alive. So we're alive in the studio right now, and Josh and Cameron, they look alive. So we're experiencing life in the present. But there's also life after life, which is to say, let's say I'm having an operation tomorrow. Let's say I don't make it. I don't think that's going to happen, but let's say I don't make it. Well, if I don't make it, I can tell you one thing. I will be really, really happy, because I'll be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now, I won't be happy because I'll miss my loved ones, and so I want to stick around for the, you know, for the weddings and for the grandchildren, all those. But if I die, I'm absent from the body, present with the Lord, which is a pretty good option. So if that happens, well, I'm in what you call the intermediate state, right? I'm disembodied. So when my mother, Lena, who you love, she's the cutest, isn't she?
She is
awesome.
She's
unbelievable. 92 years old, and she is just as witty as anyone I've ever run across. You know, like, you give her a compliment, she says, what do you want from me?
There's
always a quick response. But anyway, what was I saying? So there's life after life, and so when you die, you're absent the body, you're present with the Lord. And what I was saying is, my mother Lena, when she gave birth to me, she didn't give birth to just a physical part of me. She gave birth to a body-soul unity. And at death, there's an unnatural rending of the body and the soul. So we're absent the body, we're present with the Lord. The body is buried, the non-physical aspect of our humanity is in the presence of God. Well, there's also life after life, meaning that there is a time in which Jesus will appear a second time. Now, that's what Hebrews tells us, that Jesus will appear a second time. It's not as though he's coming from somewhere, as though he's a long way off and he has to travel. He will appear. He's transcended time and space, and he will appear. We will see him. And when Jesus appears a second time, something happens, and Jesus himself tells us what happens. He says, do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned. Now, when that occurs, then we'll be in the permanent state. So the soul that is in the intermediate state, or if you happen to be alive, that soul in the intermediate state returns to a body that is resurrected. If you're alive at the time, then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we see that you're changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. So that which is corruptible becomes incorruptible. That which is perishable becomes imperishable. And we're changed. We undergo a metamorphosis. And then we live in renewed bodies in a renewed universe as forever we explore the majesty of the one who saved us by his grace. So the question for Tammy, when we die, yeah, we go to be with the Lord. And we see a great picture of that in Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So we have this cloud of witnesses there in the presence of the Lord. They're experiencing communion and fellowship, and one day we'll experience resurrection of their bodies.
You've talked to me about this before, but I wanted to add this on to the question. What do you think about people that are cremated? How will that work out?
Yeah, well, there are a lot of people that are making ashes of themselves, but God can, he can resurrect the cremated just as he can resurrect someone who died many, 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 many years ago. So God has no problem resurrecting the cremated. But the question now becomes, does cremation point to resurrection? Well, biblically, cremation is not the burial of choice. Biblically, the burial of choice is to be body buried. And the reason that's the burial of choice is it's a picture. And we point at that body and we say, that body is going to be transformed. And so it is a way of communicating the gospel. Yeah, and at the perfect time, it is a way of communicating the gospel. Now, if you're cremated, God can resurrect you as well. But if someone chooses to be cremated, I think it's really incumbent upon that person and their family to make sure that the gospel is clearly communicated in terms of the bodily resurrection, because Christianity is not platonic. It's very physical. We believe in the physical resurrection of the dead. Coming up to station break, we'll be back on the other side of the break with more of your questions. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Also coming up, the quote of the day. You know, I'm going to do something really interesting with the quote of the day. The quote of the day comes from a communist. It's pretty chilling, actually, but it'll be up on the other side of the break again, along with your calls when you dial 888-ASK-HANK.
Ideas do have consequences, and bad ideas have cost untold millions of lives. Benjamin Weicker brilliantly and wittily distilled some of history's most dangerous and damaging thinking in 10 books that screwed up the world, and 5 others that didn't help. To receive your copy of 10 Books That Screwed Up the World as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. For many Christians, the reality of God is so obvious and undeniable that we're amazed anyone could seriously doubt it. And yet, many do. How can we help such people recognize what seems to be so apparent to us? James N. Anderson highlights six aspects of everyone's life that can be explained only if God exists. Other topics include, was there a Jewish temple in ancient Jerusalem? The irony of 13 reasons why, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. While politically correct culture is quick to point out discrimination and abuse of women in other respects, there has been a deafening silence when it comes to the systematic oppression of women under Islamic Sharia law. Don't miss Hank Hanegraaff's cover feature article, Islamic Sharia and the Mistreatment of Women, in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Once again, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day comes from Vladimir Lenin. Imagine that. You know, he had such interesting things to say, and they're interesting because of the present epoch in which we live. Like he once said, cause the registration of all firearms on some pretext with the view of confiscating them and leaving the population defenseless. But that's not the quote of the day. The quote of the day is as follows. Why should freedom of speech, said Vladimir Lenin. And by the way, Vladimir Lenin is an alias. It's not his real name. A lot of people don't know that. But he says, why should freedom of speech and freedom of the press be allowed? Why should a government which is doing what it believes to be right allow itself to be criticized? It would not allow opposition by lethal weapons, ideas, however, are much more fatal things than guns. Why should any man be allowed to buy a printing press and disseminate pernicious opinions calculated to embarrass the government? So here you have a statement by Lenin, which is directly opposed to freedom of speech, freedom of the press, and criticism of the government. And of course, those who tried to criticize Vladimir Lenin, well, many of them paid dearly with their lives. Let's go back to the phone calls. Next up is Edgar. He's listening in Texas on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Edgar.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
Good, good, doing good. Praying for you, man.
Thank you.
A couple of weeks ago, a week and a half or so ago, and I was asking, I didn't get to the question. I think we got caught up before the question.
Oh.
I was saying that my wife, she's a believer in Christ, and she's in fire for the Lord, and you know, she likes to talk to everybody about Jesus Christ and all, but she has a difficulty believing that God and Christ are the same, or the Holy Spirit. My question was that, will that hinder her salvation or affect her salvation in any way?
Well, I don't think it's the absence of knowledge that damns. It's the despising of knowledge that damns. And one of the things we know for certain as we read through the scriptures is that there's only one God. The scripture is very, very plain about that. You look at the Old Testament, for example, the Hebrew Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." Now, if you continue reading the Bible, you recognize that the Father is God. The Bible's pretty explicit about that. You also realize that the Holy Spirit is God. Because, well, I think of one example in the New Testament, you have lied to men, but you have lied to God. This, in context, having directly to do with the Holy Spirit. And then I would contend that the Bible is very, very clear with respect to Jesus Christ being God. For example, John 1, I was talking about that earlier, declares that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Or, for example, you have God the Father speaking about Jesus Christ and saying, about the Son, the Father says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. I don't know how it gets more clear than that. So the Bible is telling us that there's one God, that the Father is God, that the Son is God, and that the Holy Spirit is God. And the Bible tells us that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct. In other words, the Father doesn't become the Son doesn't morph into the Holy Spirit. So you have one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. So that's what the Bible teaches. Now, it's hard for your wife to get her head around that. Well, I'll tell you, it's hard for me to get my head around that. And I oftentimes tell people, if you can get your head around that, your God is too small. Meaning that the God we serve, we can apprehend, however, we cannot comprehend. He is beyond our ability to fully comprehend, and that is not only true in time, but that is also true for all eternity. So, Edgar, I hope that helps. The Bible's clear that Jesus Christ is God, that the Holy Spirit is God, and that the Father is God, that there's one God, and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct.
All right, I understand that, but that salvation, her salvation, I mean...
Well, again, what I'm talking about there, Edgar, is that it's not the absence of truth that damns, it's the despising of truth that damns. So what I'm suggesting here is there are many people that cannot communicate what I just communicated. And I'm not looking at those people and saying those people are lost. That is not my province. In fact, that's the province of the Holy Spirit. But as you read about the Lord by doing what the Lord asks us to do, get into His Word, get the Word of God into you, as you learn more and more about God, you have to follow what God says as opposed to recreating God in your own image.
Okay.
Okay?
Very well. That's very good. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
God bless you, Edgar. Appreciate your call. Thomas in Bakersfield, California. He's listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Thomas.
Follow what God says as opposed to recreating.
Hey, Thomas, are you there?
Okay.
Thomas is not there as radio's going, so let's go on to something else that I want to talk about. Hopefully we can go back to Thomas as soon as he the radio turned down, and we'll try to get back to him. Sorry, Thomas. Sometimes people do that. But here's something I wanted to get to, which is really important to me. The importance of abortion can never be minimized. Francis Schaeffer called this the watershed issue of our day. And that was many, many years ago, and it is still true that this is the watershed issue of our day. And what is particularly troubling to me, and I think I'll talk about this a little more tomorrow, because I'm going to talk about a book that really screwed up the world. It was a book by Margaret Sanger. She was the proponent, the progenitor in many ways, of popular eugenics. And we'll, again, talk about that on tomorrow's show. But, you know, today, when you think about abortion, you think about people in Planned Parenthood, you know, people dismembering babies and putting them back together in the freezers and calling that the nursery. You know, it's pretty cold-hearted when you have people joking about these kinds of things, dismembered babies that are created in the image and likeness of God. But I think it's equally disturbing when we have ministers that have major platforms, in this case, a minister that is one of the megastars in the Protestant world. His name is Carl Lentz. He's the Hillsong pastor. And he provides moral cover for abortion when he shows up on television. And in this case, he shows up on The View, and he gives, as I just said, moral cover for abortion. And actually, those words come from the Federalist. There was an article on this in the paper, and I looked into this. And it's not only interesting, but it's very, very disturbing when you have a pastor in a major forum suggesting that people ought to live according to their own convictions. In other words, you know, do as you will. Might as well be the Wiccan Reed, quite frankly. This is a subject that is not up to a person's conviction. If it is my conviction that I want to kill somebody, I can't say, well, you know, I just kind of have that conviction that I can murder someone because I don't like that person. That person slandered me. That person's harmed me in many different ways. And it's my conviction I can kill that person. Well, abortion is just that. It is the killing of an innocent human being. Innocent in the sense that person created in the Imago Dei is not someone who has committed some kind of capital crime. They ought to be protected, not murdered. It is an innocent human being because it has a distinct genetic code. It has replication. There are many ways in which we know in an age of scientific enlightenment that this is a child. And so we should never, as Christians, be on the side of child sacrifice, living by your own convictions. You know, kind of the mantra, my body, my choice. In a civilized world, we should not be on the side of abortion, particularly if we are people that have been given a major platform. So it's extraordinarily disturbing to hear Carl Lentz, Hillsong pastor, on The View.
That is incredibly disturbing. I mean, I remember reading books about Christians that were persecuted in Rome in the early church, and like looking at this idea of babies being left out to die, thinking that would never happen. But now, I mean, there are babies that'll come out of failed abortions that it's like, well, they were supposed to be aborted, so they can't be kept living. Or you have really late term abortions, or people that are like in Sweden, you can have a, they're allowed to abort on the basis of gender. Like, who would have ever thought? Like, not even any kind of possible problem, except for that they didn't want a girl or they didn't want a boy.
That's
like,
amazing.
Who would have come to that point?
Actually, I hadn't even heard of that. But, you know, one thing I have heard of, and I'm not disputing that, I just don't know. I've never heard about it. But here's the thing. Now you can murder Down syndrome children. In other words, if the baby is not a designer baby, it's a Down syndrome baby, then you can decide that baby is not worth it. And so in places like Iceland, you have 100%, at least that's what they're touting, of Down syndrome babies being aborted, and therefore they think that they've done something wonderful.
And the narrative is that it's their life and they have the right to choose. And in my perspective, I'm a woman. I could have a child one day, you know. So this is something that's particularly something that I think about. And you know what? It's not my choice. You know, it was my choice to have sex. And to have that child is an ethical task that I have taken on the possibility of having by having sex. So that is the problem here, is that no one's looking at the choice beforehand.
And again, there was a press release, 2017, religious groups announced support for Planned Parenthood. It's another subject. Maybe we'll broach that on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answers Man broadcast, having an operation in the morning. Hopefully I'll be in good shape after the operation, be right back in studio doing a Facebook Live along with the Bible Answers Man broadcast. Sorry for those calling in. We can't take any more calls. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answers Man broadcast. My thanks for everyone who makes this broadcast possible by standing with us prayerfully and financially and making a difference for time and for eternity. So long for now.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answers Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answers Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Hank Hanegraaff explains that while politically correct culture is quick to point out discrimination and abuse of women in other respects, there has been a deafening silence when it comes to the systematic oppression of women under Islamic Sharia law.
Other topics include God made us so that he could be our father in a way that reflects his fatherly relationship to his only son, the rational inescapability of God. Was there a Jewish temple in ancient Jerusalem? And much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.